we were getting worried about.
Yeah, Jean met me out there. Trying to do too many things at once.
I get it. It's that time of the year.
Yeah. All right. Yes.
Okay.
You be my date.
Good. I will.
Sounds
good. I'll just move the field again.
Oh my gosh, we couldn't find where to park and find it during the daylight.
I'll walk you through, don't you worry.
Smoky, yucky.
Yes.
Deal with the drunkenness. I was doing the same thing. I was even on that boat when they gave us order. I'm making them see.
Your machine ready to go, Andrew?
All set.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the November 20th meeting of Orleans City Council. If everyone would please stand, we'll have a prayer before we begin. Dear Lord, this is a week for Thanksgiving. Let us all give thanks for the city that we live in, for the people that give their time to work for the city of Orleans, and help us also to make sure that we follow in the ways of your son's footsteps so that we can all decide to do something that will better our community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Have roll call, please.
Chu.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Vance.
Here.
Hampshire.
Present.
Spirit.
Here.
Forkman.
Here.
Morrison.
Here.
Thank you. Everyone should have received a copy of the minutes of our last meeting on November 6th. Does anyone have any additions or corrections to the minutes? Mr. Vance?
I move we adopt the minutes of the November 6th meeting.
Thank you. Second, Mr. Wilson.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Forkman?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Shue?
Yes.
We have no public comments scheduled for this evening. We'll move to standing committee reports. Finance, Mr. Espiris.
Thank you, Mr. President. Finance has not met, but there are a couple items on the agenda tonight concerning finance. Temporary appropriations for 2018 is up for first reading, and Director Strumlin has passed out those booklets, so all of council should have those. If I remember, and Ms. Strumlin can chime in a little bit later, I believe it pretty much reflects exactly what we had in the budget. I don't believe there are any changes. And then as far as the second piece of our resolution, it's resolution 5417, and that's in regards to some adjustments in the expenditures and expenses for our 2017 year-end appropriations. And I have had some discussion with Ms. Strumlin over some of those changes. She has shared some of that with us prior, and I know I don't have any issues with any of those, but we can talk more about it when it comes up. That is all I have this evening, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move to utilities. Mr. Corkman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Utilities has not met and has not reported.
Thank you. Health and safety, Mr. Vance.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Health and Safety Committee hasn't met. I have no report.
Thank you. Parks and Recreation, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you. I also have no report. Then.
Thank you. Transportation, Mr. Shue.
Thank you, Mr. President. Transportation has no report tonight either.
Thank you.
Planning.
Mr. Hampshire.
Thank you, Mr. President. Planning did meet just prior to this meeting and discussed the feasibility study for some downtown development, and we came to consensus that we would partner with Orville Area Development Foundation and the Orville Chamber of Commerce to get that feasibility study done to help us determine how best to develop some of the downtown areas.
Thank you. Ordinance and Personnel, Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ordinance and Personnel has no report this evening.
Thank you. We have no special committee reports tonight. We'll move to administrative reports. Mayor Hanworth.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a few items tonight. The first one would be that the Nuisance Abatement Committee that I mentioned last time we had council meeting never meets is actually going to meet next week. So that'll be next Wednesday at 10 a.m. And I would also like to remind everybody about Home for the Holidays, which is the day after Thanksgiving, as always. Hopefully we have a good crowd downtown and some good weather. And keep in mind there's additional events this year with the ice skating rink down at Serpentine's new building, and along with that will be the reindeer that they've had before at their old collision center. So that should be a nice time down there, too. So there should be plenty of stuff to do downtown and also down there, too. I'm not going to ice skate, but I'll watch people. I don't want to get hurt. And then also would like to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving, and probably most importantly, beat Michigan this week. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move to our Safety Service Director, Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. Late pickup continues from our service department. Crews have returned to the south end for a final round of pickup, and then they will get back to the north end again. They do hope to be done completely by December 8th. Believe it or not, Shop with a Cop raffle tickets are for sale. It is that time of year. They are $1 each and can be purchased at Mrs. J's, Cabana Sun, Total, Hook Salon, or Orville Police Department from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. We also accept monetary donations for those that are not interested in participating in the raffle. And that is my report for tonight.
Thank you. Our Utilities Director, Mr. Brediger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a couple of informational items. We did have an outage, storm-related, Saturday afternoon. We had a car take out one of our poles along Kansas Road Saturday afternoon, a little bit after lunch. Impacted a lot of businesses downtown, a lot of residential in our Delton and Kidron areas. We had some other residual issues resulting from that that kept us from closing the main breaker. So we had a number of different interruptions take place during that entire event till we got things all straightened out. So we appreciate everybody's patience during that. We probably impacted between 800 and 900 customers during that time. And it all started off with somebody driving a little bit too fast down Kansas Road. Hydroplane on the road took out one of our utility poles, crossed up some wires, and weather delays with the monsoon winds, rain and winds also kind of hampered, slowed down some of our restoration efforts a little bit. I will be speaking to a number of the resolutions that are in front of us tonight later on. I did send out an email on the 17th talking about some of the concerns that we have from a tax reform perspective, and I just wanted to remind everybody what those issues are, and it really centers around the Build America bonds that Orville and a number of other AMP partners utilize as a funding mechanism back during the height of the recession. Most of these bonds that we took out paid for the development of the hydro projects and a little bit of Prairie State. So far, some of those efforts have been through prior sequestrations have cost us a little bit over $500,000 in interest payments on those bonds. If this tax reform goes through the way some of the legislators have it proposed, we have exposure to about $44 million of extra interest expense over the 30-year life of these bonds. So that is certainly quite troubling. We invested in those bonds at a time when America was looking for some help. We had other bond options. These bond options through the Build America bond program unfortunately doesn't come with some of the refinancing options. Some of the traditional bond mechanisms have. So that's kind of a double whammy for us. So we're continuing on working with our legislators, mainly Senator Portman. Mayor Hanwork and I have reached out to him, let him know what's going on with respect to that. But that is that's a big issue that we understand the Hill will be making some decisions on before the end of the year. So there was some information contained in an attachment to that email that I sent out. And if you have some more questions on that, let me know. The last item I have other than the resolution, just wanted to make you aware, one of our board members, Gary Gossard, resigned at the last board meeting, so we are in the process of identifying some potential candidates for that. And that's all I have tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll move to our finance director, Ms. Stremlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. As you know, at the last meeting, legislation was passed to enter into a coalition of municipalities seeking relief from the courts from the state-mandated centralized collection of municipal net profit taxes. That lawsuit was filed in Franklin County Common Pleas Court on November 17th on behalf of 137 municipalities, 43% of Ohio cities, and 9% of Ohio villages are listed as plaintiffs in that lawsuit. The lawsuit asks the court for a preliminary and permanent injunction to block a portion of the law that allows for that collection of net profit tax. It argues that the current provisions and the original legislation that council passed in 2015 violates our home rule status and also the single subject provisions of the Ohio Constitution. We will put a copy of the lawsuit on the city's website, and I'll also email a copy of that to each of you, and we'll keep you informed as this progresses. Hopefully we'll have some kind of early decision in December so that we know how to proceed for January 1st. The other item I have, prior to tonight's meeting, I did distribute the fund balance report for the period ending October 31st, 2017. And I would just ask for a motion to approve that report subject to audit.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Spears. Second, Mr. Corbin.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spears?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes. Mr. President?
Yes, sir.
I know I made a rant about this last meeting, but I just want to make one additional comment in case someone is listening. Our representatives have, I think one of the comments someone shared last week is when we talk to our representatives, they say they don't want to do anything to hurt municipalities. I just want to point out that now 43% of the municipalities in Ohio have now filed an injunction to stop the state from carrying out this legislation that our representatives passed. So hope they consider that fact. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you, Ms. Stremlin.
Thank you.
We'll move to our law director, Mrs. Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report this evening.
Thank you. I have no report for this evening, so we will move to our old business. Mr. Larson.
Administrative Order Number 117, I move this administrative order to be placed on fifth reading.
Second, Mr. Parker.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Administrative Order Number 117. An administrative order granting authority to the Public Utilities Board of the City of Orrville, Ohio to increase water utility rates by 8% beginning December 1, 2017 through December 31, 2017. The first day of January beginning 2018 through January 1st, 2022 increases as follows. The first 2 years, 2018 and 2019, the increase will be 7% per year. The next 3 years, 2020, 2021, and 2022, the increase will be 6% per year.
Okay, this is our fifth reading. Anyone have any discussion to add to this now? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Question, Mr. Greger, very quickly before I move on. Mr. Greger, if I remember our conversations, each year we're going to revisit this and see if it's still feasible and we still need to change these rates as they are set. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. Part of our budgeting process.
Okay, thank you. Mr. President, what I would like to just real quickly say, that this is not a popular thing by any stretch of the imagination. However, we were elected to do what is right for the city, and to have this spread out over about 5 years is far better than having it happen all at once. To let it go by, again, I said this last meeting, to let it slide in by inaction just because we don't want to vote yes or no against or for it, I don't think that's the right thing. So at this moment, I will move that Administrative Order 117 be adopted as right.
Second, Mr. Corkman.
Okay.
Was that your finger was there? I didn't.
I paused, but I'll second it.
Okay.
Asparis?
With my understanding that after the fifth reading, that it automatically gets adopted according to the charter, is that correct?
It does. I don't know that that would necessarily preclude you from having a vote at the fifth reading.
I understand that.
Yes, it does get adopted after the fifth reading.
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Administrative Order Number 217. I move this administrative order be placed on fifth reading.
Second, Mr. Corkman.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes. Administrative Order Number 217, an administrative order granting authority to the Public Utilities Board of the City of Moorville, Ohio, to increase wastewater utility rates by 7% beginning December 1, 2017 through December 31, 2017. First day of January, beginning 2018 through January 1st, 2022, increases as follows. The first year, 2018, the increase will be 7%. The next 4 years, 2019, 2020, 2021, and 2022, the increase will be 6% per year.
Okay, again, this was on fifth reading. Anyone have any comments? Mr. Vance.
Thanks, Mr. President. I just wanted to make a comment. The wastewater, the expenditures aren't as big as the water that we just passed, but I just wanted to just take a moment and explain, you know, a little bit about where my views are on it. To me, as I've studied this over the past several weeks, the answer to why this level of increase is needed is pretty simple. It's because of reduction of power production from our power plant as a result of the EPA. The loss of income from that is really what is driving this. As you look at the expenditures being proposed over the next 5 years, there's really nothing that's all that big. The biggest one by far is next year with replacing the West High Street water line. That's $1.6 million out of $2 million being proposed to be spent next year. You have to replace the water line next year. Otherwise, when we repave High Street, when that water line continues to break, how many times did it break over the past couple of years?
We've had around half a dozen repairs on that line in the past handful of years.
So that's not going to get better. And so now you've repaved High Street, one of the main streets in town, and now you're going to start cutting that street up to fix these breaks that are happening in that water line. And so you have to replace the water line on West High Street. We wish we did. It's happening sooner than what we thought. That water line, getting worse. So, nobody likes to do this, but as you look at the expenditures being proposed, you can't argue with any of them that they don't need to be done. One thing that's surprising to me is how much it costs to paint the water tower. You know, is there a cheaper way to do that? I don't know. I would volunteer to do the first 10 feet, but after that, it's going to take some equipment, you know. So, other than us going into the painting water tower business, I don't know how we can get around that. But still, that's still a small portion, you know. I mean, it's still not that great of an expense. So, as I've looked at this over and over, I'm trying to, figure out, is there a different way? Can you issue bonds, spread the cost out over years? But that doesn't make any sense. Because these are just ongoing maintenance things. We don't want to be issuing bonds for things that are just part of maintaining the infrastructure for the city. It's not a new project. We issue a bond to drill a well in Stark County and bring that water line here. But these are maintenance issues. These aren't new projects necessarily. So it doesn't make sense in my mind to be issuing bonds for this stuff either. So I wish we didn't have to do this. I know it's pain for people, but as I look at the numbers, and I don't see any other solution other than what has been proposed here. And I appreciate the work, especially of the Utilities Board. Not an easy job that they had to do, especially the Utilities Department and Mr. Prediger. But as difficult as it is, I don't see how another option available to us that makes sense. So, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else have any comments? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Vance, I think we can tie the mayor on the top of the cut a couple costs that way.
Talk to my wife about that one.
Yeah. Okay. I move the Administrative Order 217 for the reasons I said earlier be adopted as written.
Thank you. Second, Mr. Vance.
Larson?
Yes.
Chu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
That ends our old business. And by the way, Council, thank you for vote of confidence for our utility board. Those people worked a lot on this, and we thought long and hard, our council did, as to whether it was a good idea or not. There was a lot of discussion, and I'm glad that it turned out that we're actually going to support them and our mayor, because he was involved in this also.
Can I just make a comment?
Yes, sir.
I would also like to thank council for the vote of support. I was thinking of this afternoon, and it kind of reminds me of being a parent of a teenager. It's not a decision that you want to make. It would be much easier public-wise for a council person, as I was for many years, to vote no or just don't show support. Just like it would be easier for you to tell your teenager, yes, you can go to this party, you can stay out till 3 in the morning, that's okay, even though you know that's probably not a good idea. And I think the main concern here is we don't want to be the group down the road that lets the utility water and wastewater go, and then somebody later says, what in the world were they doing? You know, now we've got to raise the rates 30 or 40% to try and catch up with everything that needs done. So appreciate that. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. That completes our old business for this evening. Let's move to new business. Mr. Larson.
Resolution number 5017. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Chu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Resolution number 5017. resolution to establish the classifications of Power Plant Technician 1, 2, and 3 in the classified service of the City of Florville, Ohio, and to abolish the positions of Power Plant Operator Apprentice, Power Plant Operator 1, Power Plant Worker 2, and Control Room Operator, and repealing all legislation inconsistent herewith.
Okay, this one may take some explanation.
A little bit. I've asked Phil McFerrin, our human resource manager, to come up and walk through the details. But in essence, what we have been discussing with the utility board ever since we have made changes, operational changes at the power plant, was what can we do to kind of, as our workforce was shrinking, try to make that a little bit more flexible and a little bit more efficient. And the plan that we've been working on and kind of been experimenting a little bit with since the beginning of the year basically involves taking our power plant maintenance group in our operation group and combining those into one work group. We're going to be doing a lot of cross-training, some relicensing in there, so we'll basically have a single group of employees that can cut across all the job aspects of the power plant operation and maintenance. So with that, maybe I'll just go ahead and pass the ball to Phil and let him kind of describe the process a little bit more, some of the discussions that we've been having. And some of the work that we've been doing. And Phil's been working real close with Dean Callenborn, our electric utility manager down there, too. So go ahead and fill in there, and we'll do a little bit of tag teaming here and get all your questions answered.
As Mr. Brediger mentioned, the real goal here, as we have navigated the changes to the power plant and now are operating in a completely different way than we used to, what we decided is that we need a much more flexible workforce, one with a much more diverse set of skills that will become more efficient and much easier to deploy depending on what the need is on any given day. Depending on the weather forecast would depend on how the plant operates, and we need a staff that at any given time we can put just about anybody in any role and hopefully get the job done. So to do that, by creating these positions of power plant technician 1, 2, and 3, the first thing that we would do with the attempt to reclassify all of our current employees in the power plant maintenance 1, 2, and 3 positions and the power plant operators 2 and control room operators laterally into the power plant technician 1, 2, and 3. The second goal that we would have would be to get all of the employees who are employed in the power plant licensed with the boiler operator's license. So licensed and trained so that at any given time, anybody who works in the plant is able to operate the plant either at the boiler and turbine rooms or in the control room. What that allows us to do is just have that kind of flexibility and efficiency in our workforce that at any given time, we can put anybody hopefully in the right spot to do what needs to be done to keep the power plant running. As part of that program, we are going to be launching a whole new robust training plan. The goal here is to get these guys as much training as they can. They're willing to get, really. We have previously kind of had the model down there where we have so many ones, so many twos, so many threes. I liken this to our line group. Currently, our line group, we have all line worker threes with the exception of two new guys that we hired last year. And the reason that we do that is, just like this weekend with the storm, we can call those guys, and anybody who answers those calls can get in any truck and go out to any line and do any job that needs to be done. And our real hope would be that the workers at the power plant see this as a giant opportunity for training and for opportunity to move up through the system so that at any given time, just like those line workers, we can call on them to do whatever's needed at the plant and get it done. I would like to point out that these changes is in no way us being discontented with the current workforce that we have. It's just a new day, and we need to operate in a different way. And we hope that these changes will allow us to do that. Just make sure that okay, one other thing. The whole plan with this is that we shouldn't need to add additional staff. We feel that the workforce that we have is fully capable of managing the plant the way that it needs to be done. However, money is always a question. Is this going to cost more? initially, again, everyone's going to be in collateral moves. The only way this is going to cost more would be if these guys are obtaining certifiable skills and making themselves, eligible for promotion. So if the money increases, it's because these guys are moving into higher level work and doing more work and at a higher level for us. So with that, I'd be open to any questions that any of you would have.
Yeah, we have, if you've been down at the plant and driven past our parking lot lately, there are a whole lot less cars down there. We're probably at, staffed at about half the level where we're at right now. When we are not operating the plant, our operations crews have gone from four people down to one person in that control room, and we're utilizing those other operators and maintenance functions. Likewise, when we have been operating and when we've had trouble getting the full complement of operators that we've needed on the shift, we've temporarily transferred our maintenance folks into the operations department as part of that process for limited periods of time. And this will kind of allow us to extend those out as time goes on. And as Phil mentioned there too, at the end of the day, it would be one of our goals to have all those folks working at those upper classification levels, because that means we can literally plug anybody in, any position, and give us the most flexibility we have. They would hopefully be all fully licensed operators, and they would also be fully capable, skilled mechanics doing the work that our mechanics are currently doing out there right now, and be able to adjust with the fact that the plant has gone from a 24/7 operation down to this year, if that plant is generating about 25% of the time, that'll be a very long run period for us. And we see ourselves in that position over the next couple years, based on the restrictions we have in front of us and where the markets are at, and really waiting to see how some of the dust settles on some of these other regulations and threats that's impacting us. And as we kind of look long and take a look and see what else we're going to be doing further down the road. So,
what percent of the workforce is certified now, the level that you're wanting, and what is the process? How long does it take? How rigorous? I don't want to say rigorous, but like, you're not going to school somewhere, are you? I mean, you're.
It depends.
Okay.
It depends on what. There's going to be a catalog, let's say. Of things that these guys are going to be able to be trained in. Our hope would be in the next year that everybody that works at the plant will obtain the State of Ohio Boiler's License and complete the checkoff and training to operate the plant. So that we'll do in-house, and once these changes are put through, hopefully we'll start moving on that as soon as possible. And because of the temporary transfer that Mr. Gregor mentioned, actually a lot of these guys have already become quite familiar with the operations. Our maintenance staff is, we have a very seasoned maintenance staff. They already know the plant inside out, so it's just, I think, taking it from one side of the field and moving it to the other, and I don't think that's going to be a major transition for anybody. Since I've been here 10 years, we've only had one person not get that license within their probationary period. That's a current requirement, and that person 2 months later got it. We extended the probation, they got it. It's not a complicated thing. From there, that catalog of other trains. So let's think welding, millwright, mechanic, as Mr. Brediger mentioned, an electrician, instrumentation. These are all going to be training programs that we're going to make available to them. Some will be through school. We'll send them to OSU-ATI. We've also talked to OSU-ATI about coming in-house. And if there's a training that we feel everybody should be certified in, we'll bring them in-house, and we'll actually provide that to them there. So let's take mechanic, for example. If they had a mechanic program, and it made most sense for them to come teach everybody at once rather than send a handful at a time over to Worcester, we might do that. But let's say one of the guys says, I've always wanted to be a welder, then we'll hook them up with probably someone out at the Career Center to help get them licensed in welding. And that's going to be up to them, to a certain extent, on how quickly they want to move up through the classification series. hope that answered your question.
Yeah, no, my other part of my question is how many people are already, I understand most people sounds like are already certified, but some of the training you're talking about almost sounds like retraining, like a new, you know what I mean? If you're looking to be a
new
training,
skills.
Yeah, new skills, okay.
Let's
so
take
is that more of a filling in a gap, or is it a shift in a, you know what I mean?
I'll say yes.
Okay.
All right. Let's take a welder, for example. In the new Power Plant Technician 2 series, you're going to be licensed and trained to operate the plant. So that's one skill set. You're also going to have another skill set. So for all of our maintenance employees, that's going to be for them just learning how to operate the plant.
Right.
So to be a maintenance worker 2, they already have to be a certified welder, millwright, whatever.
Okay.
So we're going to train them how, so they're already there. So for them to move up to the 3 position then, they look at this catalog of training, and they pick one more thing to be certified in, and by getting a new certification, it makes them eligible for promotion, and once they finish that course, and they provide us with a certificate of that, then they would be eligible to make the next step. Currently, we just have one maintenance worker, 1, so that person would have to do 2 things in the next year, and we'll come alongside them, help them learn the training to operate the plant, but also help them to become certified in whatever skill set they feel fits them the best. We don't really have gaps right now. It's really about making all of them as diverse as possible. Mr. Wilson?
Just curious, what drives the need for the reclassification versus maybe just from a private employer just creating your own standard work operations and cross-training on your own?
Truthfully, it's a civil service matter. Civil service law sets the classification series, and there's a set skill, duties, and requirements of work for each classification. So our current power plant operations classification, which would include the apprentice operator, operator 1, operator 2, and control room operator, have a very specific skill set on how to operate the plant. Now, just like all of us, there's probably a line in there that says, or other work as needed. Or, you know, everybody has something like that. I think even Janet probably has to do something different every once in a while. But so it takes us from getting rid of that classification series that's very specific and incorporating them into a new classification series that is a bit more broad and certainly more flexible. So it really comes down to Civil Service Commission, which if council passes this legislation, hopefully in December, the commission will take a look at it.
You already answered one of my questions.
Because I read your mind.
Yeah. The employees, they do not have to be certified in, if I understand this, more than 2. We're not requiring someone that's a good welder.
No.
Because Lord help us, if we go to replace these as they retire, finding good welders is sort of challenging, but now you got to find a welder.
We attempt on to something new as well.
Capable of operating a power plant.
Everybody under the new classification, the lateral classification, should be, let's say, safe where they're at. Our hope and expectation is that everybody will take the opportunity to move up. So there's that. As far as hiring goes,
and that's a key point that we want to emphasize here. That is part of Phil and Dean's job is to provide that means to move forward, with whether the training or the classes that Phil mentioned in there, because at the end of the day, as we see our workforce shrink, those skills are still needed to operate and maintain the plant. Our ability to find those out on the street are also shrinking, because we've gone through about the past 3 months just trying to fill a control room operator slot up there, and we've been unsuccessful with that there. So our hope at the end of the day is to bring as many of those programs out there and to get these guys latching on to not just the one that's required, but more than what's required, so we can have that diversity all the way across the entire workforce down there, as opposed to relying on the one and only welder or one and only electrician. In there, we need to try to diversify that out. Whereas before, we had the luxury of spreading that out, a lot greater workforce, and didn't need the depth that we have. We need to spread that depth around a lot smaller work base, and that's was really the nexus that was driving this consolidation. And we're seeing all of that as part of all of our jobs. As people are leaving, we're not filling those jobs, we're absorbing those jobs, we're having to learn that other person's job and work that in with everything else to make that, you know, just stick that other hat on the other tree.
Toward the end of finding that in the future, and either one of you can answer this question, does eliminating the apprentice position and replacing it with the technician one, does that raise the bar for entry? Does it make it more difficult to find someone?
I believe, and this is, I think, goes with the second part of what Mr. Porkman was saying, I believe this is going to make hiring a bit easier, actually. Hiring boiler operators was actually very difficult because they were all stuck on a swing shift 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. What this is going to allow us to do is hire employees who maybe want a career or already have a career in maintenance and see that this is an opportunity for them. And so we hire them in with the understanding that we're going to train you how to run the plant, and when we are operating, you might have to take your turn doing some shift work from time to time. So I don't believe it raises the bar, because I think still an entry-level employee who comes in, if they're a really good employee, all they need to do is get trained in the plant within that year, then obtain their boiler's license like they do now.
And they'll enter as a Tech 1?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that hopefully that answers your question. Mr. Spears.
Thank you. I have three questions. You mentioned that the net headcount does not change. How many employees, as far as your plant operator 1, 2, your apprentice and your control specialist, how many fall into those categories currently?
I believe we have, and I might call on some of these guys in the back for an exact number, but
we have 3 CO2s and 4 CROs, correct?
Yeah, we have 3 power plant operator 2s and 4 control room operators. Now, on the flip side, okay, those guys are also going to be given the opportunity to train in a maintenance field to make them more diverse as well.
So no apprentice and no operator one?
No, which we haven't had for 2 years.
Okay. Second question I have is, how do the current operators feel about this?
I can't speak to that.
Would somebody be willing to speak if I make that motion?
We've only got one operator here. The rest of us are maintenance. So, I mean, that'd be a okay.
Well, I wasn't prepared to talk. I don't know if I can speak for all the operators, but we've been trying to hire at the...
Haven't come to the microphone.
We've been trying to hire at the top level, the control room. And in the past, it's if you hire someone that doesn't have a license, and you go about training them. That's what the apprentice job was. And we're trying to get control room operators in, which you can do. I hired in as a control room operator. Had my license already. Didn't have any pulverized coal experience, and I learned it, but we were running all the time. So I don't know how we're going to train people when we're not running all the time anymore. We had some people come in last month that had licenses for control room, and there were a few of them that won the job, and they were all turned down because we want to incorporate operators as maintenance guys as well now. So physically, a couple of them were heavy, older. I'm heavy as well. I'm not looking forward to going in the plant. I guess I'll do it if I have to. I just got these uniforms last month or so. These are flame retardant uniforms, so I can be out there working with the high voltage electric. I'm willing to do it. But it's hard to understand. We talk about keeping the power plant running, but we're not staffing. I think there's 7 maintenance guys?
Not counting
the instrumentation?
Yeah, instrumentation is 10.
Counting instrumentation?
Correct.
Counting instrumentation, there's 10 maintenance guys for the whole plant, and there's 8 licensed operators, and 3 of them are supervisors. And the supervisors didn't used to do the labor work. They would help out, you know, in direction, and they'd get their hands in here and help out when they had to. So I understand wanting to combine the jobs. That's understandable. but they're not looking for people to do it willingly. They're kind of forcing it on people. I would think you'd want to hire new people with the understanding this is what they're going to do. But I can't speak with all the operators down there, but I've had like plenty of overtime this year, and it's good. It's nice financially. But yeah, we're still staffing it every day of the year and still staffing it 24 hours of the day. So, and swinging, so it's demanding. As an operator, it's demanding just to be there, to start with working the schedule. But I think it's doable. It's just I don't know if we're doing it the right way, you know. There should be people coming in that want to learn to operate because it takes a special skill set to operate. And not everyone can repair equipment. There's certain skill sets that we all have. And to say we just want to combine the people that we already have there and make them this, it can work, I guess. But I'm afraid you're going to have people maybe get hurt. With the operations, we're working with high-pressure steam and water, rotating equipment. I just worry about people getting hurt. You know, their training. Some people learn well from a book. Some can get the instruction that way. And then a lot of it's on-the-job training. And if we're not running that much, which we're not going to be, it's hard to get that time on. You know, we can be in a classroom and we can talk the physics of it, and we can talk, you know, the way it's supposed to work, but you learn more in operations from when trouble happens. Okay? This is how we got it. This is what's going wrong, and this is what I got to do to correct it. And the next time you see it, you respond to it quicker. But I think it's doable to have a combined workforce. I've seen places that did it. I've been in a place that did it before. I worked for Stouffer's Frozen Food Division for a few years, and I worked in their boiler room and in their refrigeration department. And I was able to do all the classifications and all the jobs. But they were running all the time. And so you have hands-on all the time. I don't know how that's going to work for us. We could try, I'm sure. But I don't think many people are happy about it. We'd like to try to get more staffing in both departments, maintenance and operations, I think. Because you have people to get sick, you have people to get injured, or they go on vacation. And we're thin right now. So you're going to put more demands and learning more jobs on them. And it's doable, but I don't think most people are looking forward to it.
I have a third question,
yes, sir.
Probably more for Mr. Prediger. You know, it's interesting to hear him mention, you know, less time with pulverizer running the boiler. And we know that with the EPA, we just converted one of the boilers to gas. And I think in the long-term plan that you presented to us a few years ago, probably a second one's not too far off. So how does this all play into that in our future?
Well, it plays into kind of the situation where we're at, where we're kind of in a catch-22. We can't find people to come in and do the jobs that we have right now, but we have the people that are currently doing the jobs right now. And that's kind of where we're at. You know, we're having a tough time getting maintenance people coming in, regardless of where their classifications or where their experience is at. We're having a tough time getting operators coming in because they don't like to operate limited hours or things along that line here. So our best place to start, in our opinion, and the board's opinion, is we work within the good group of people that we currently have right now that are already doing those jobs. They're aware of the surroundings and the situations. Repairing equipment, they're maintaining the equipment, they're operating the equipment right now. Can they operate all the things today that we're looking for them to do tomorrow? No, not yet. Can they repair some of the things that our operators are already doing some light maintenance on right now? Can they, you know, take apart our steam turbines and pumps and do pulverizer overhauls? No, not today, but tomorrow. We have that. So we have the you know the makings or the seeds of the of the of the workforce right here. They're just doing more discreet jobs. They have a familiarity with the plant already. So, you know, that's kind of where we're at. It's tough to get the people, staff up, but yet, you know, how can we bridge this gap when we're not maintaining as much as we were doing, or the requirements aren't there or aren't as demanding as they were in prior years, or we're not operating as much as we were in prior years. We're in that in-between period, and we're looking for people to want to come in and do in-between sort of work, and they're having a tough time saying, I'm a mechanic, I'm an operator, I'm an electrician. This is the one or two things that I do. I don't want to look at these other areas. So, you know, as Mr. Farron mentioned there, we hope to be able to attract more people when we need to fill and staff, deal with retirements and things along that line. We hope this will have a broader interest level. But to start things off with there, we've got the best chance, in our opinion, to work within the existing talented work pool that we have right now and build and expand and kind of diversify that going forward. I mean, you know, we're not coming to you here saying that we've got all the answers on how all this is going to work out. It's going to take a lot of communication and a lot of, you know, there's going to be some things that we're going to have to kind of try a couple different ways and make some adjustments with there. So we don't have this plan locked down, cast in stone at this time, but the concept is what we're bringing with you, and we're ready to roll out some more information on that, and we'll work out some of the other bugs, you know, collectively as we go forward on this here to maintain an adequate enough workforce to be able to safely operate that plant when we need to operate it, be in position to operate that plant when there are new opportunities out there, and be able to identify some other things that have changed as a result of our changing operations, and those have been evolving over this past year as we've operated in a lot of different scenarios and several other conditions that we haven't faced right now. Our goal is to try to get more generation out of that plant so we have more time up in the control room operator, more opportunity to get operator training in there, more opportunities to do more maintenance. That is our goal, because that's been a low cost resource for us. Like everything else, it's not doing a whole lot of good there if we can't crank out some product at the end of the day. There's still huge value in that plant if we're only operated in those limited periods of times. But we need to work on trying to maximize that, get more of those production hours out there so we can, you know, we can spread those costs out more and make ourselves more competitive as we still kind of work our way through this new changing role that we're in, that the agency has kind of put us in the spot right now. And we're not even a year under our belts right now, and we're still trying to learn and see just where those opportunities are. But we do know that, you know, we have hard limitations on how much we can physically operate that plant. So those limitations aren't going away. We're trying to maximize those. And this will give us an ability to get our production up closer to the limits that we're allowed to operate under the new regulations that were imposed on us that were effective in January this year. So we spend a lot of time talking with utility board on this too.
Mr. Parker?
It's going to be difficult also, because every employee is going to have that third soft skill. And we're going to have, at the end of the day, this is going to be a workforce that's going to be commended to work together as well, because people just don't pick up and weld out of the blue. I mean, and there's going to be questions, what is the best way to put this, however I got to do it. And I don't want just anyone walking over and firing up a lake.
Absolutely.
And I've been in spots where you wouldn't let the welder get slapped for getting too close to the lake. And this is going to be a burden. I see it going forward. It's going to be a burden on our frontline supervision. So not everyone's got to pick up their game. It's going to be...
Yes, sir. We've spent about 12 months coming up with this plan. I don't know, Mr. Kibner didn't introduce himself, but Clyde is a control room operator. He's been with us for
7 years.
And he's right, he was one of these guys that was able to step right into a three-level position. And he used the word several times, that this is doable. Yeah, it's doable. It's doable. And I think there's two real reasons that it's doable. Number one is because of the guys we have. And I'm not trying to blow smoke or anything like that. Truth is, these guys do whatever we need them to do. And for the most part, there's not much grumbling. And so that's the main reason I believe it's doable. I think the second reason it's doable is because we're going to take the time to make sure nobody's doing something they shouldn't be doing. So we're not going to grab a welder and put them on a lathe unless we've already, or they shouldn't be getting on a lathe unless they've been trained and have the proper training to do that. Where I think there's a lot of shops out there that you find guys are just trying to jump in and get it done. And the plan that we have provides the proper training for all the guys to get where they need to be and where they want to be.
Mr. Kisman, you should be commended for coming up and speaking. That's,
appreciate it.
That's mm-hmm. hard to do.
Yeah.
Especially without notice.
Right.
Thank you.
I'd like to just mention that we've got a super talented group of guys down there now. They impress the heck out of me all the time with all the different skills that they can do. And this whole situation reminds me a little bit when I was still teaching, when Oroville went from three elementary schools to a K through 2 building, a 3-4 building, and a 5-6 building, because we had the same thing. We had a lot of teachers that were getting moved to a different grade level. And the comfort level that I, you know, can understand some of you not having right now was very much felt by a lot of those teachers. And you know, the bottom line is, we worked through it. Now you would never know that. But I know I taught K through 6 for years, and all of a sudden I was going to be K through 2. That's it. I wasn't going to have the 3rd and 4th or 5th and 6th graders anymore at all. And that was an adjustment. But that's the way the school district moved, and of course now, like I said, nobody would ever know that was an issue now. But I just want to point out that I respect you guys a great deal for what you do down there, all of our employees. That's all.
And this action can't be voted on tonight. We did not, when we were posting all the other notices of legislation, we did not get this into the newspaper in time to meet the requirements for that. So this... plan on having discussion on it or introducing this to the to this body tonight, and but you know, there can't be any action taken until the December 4th city council meeting. Then after that, if that is accepted, then this goes for its third review through the Civil Service Commission. That will be at their next scheduled meeting.
December 7th.
December 7th. I just want to make a comment. I mean, we came within a hair's breadth of losing our ability to generate power at all. And so both management and the workforce both have a tremendous challenge in front of them. You know? And I think the thing for everybody to keep in mind is that we all want the same thing. Both the management and the workforce all want the same thing. And we're all on the same team. But it's a challenge for everybody. This is new territory. Oroville's never had a power plant with one generator before. Now it's natural gas. And it's a new world. And so, in a lot of ways, you know, you have to change. And but I know every organization is going through this. It's never easy when you're going through it yourself. But it just seems to be in every industry. There's cross-training, the workforce is getting smaller, everyone is being demanded to have more skills, to learn all the time. So I just encourage everybody just to keep an open line of communication and remember we're all on the same team. And I trust the management, but at the same time, I want all those workers to know how very proud our community is of the workers at our power plant. There's a tremendous amount of pride. in our power plant in our community. And I just want to thank every one of you for what you're doing and encourage you to do the very best you can to work together to get through a tough time. It's a big challenge.
Thank you, Council.
Thank you. Move to our next resolution.
Resolution number 5117. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Corkman.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spirit?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Schuh?
Yes.
Resolution number 5117. A resolution authorizing the Utility Board of Control to bid and contract for no more than a one-year period for purchases of electric distribution poles, electric meters, and components and chemicals for all utilities for year 2018.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's just an annual resolution we do every year for general supplies to operating power distribution and operating the whole thing. Nothing surprising here.
Right. Anyone else have any comments?
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Spears.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spears?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Schuh?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
I move resolution number 5117 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Corkman.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spears?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Schuh?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Resolution number 5217. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Spears?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Schuh?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Resolution number 5217. A resolution authorizing the Public Utilities Board of Control to enter into contracts without bidding, each for no more than a one-year period, for various services and supplies required by the Department of Public Utilities, Orrville, Ohio, for year 2018.
Mr. Corkman.
Again, this is an annual. While it says without bidding, things are still competitively quoted. There's three quotes at least for each product or contract. And, again, nothing surprising, nothing new.
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Corkman.
Corkman?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Schuh?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spears?
Yes.
I move resolution number 5217 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Spears.
Morrison?
Yes.
Schuh?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spears?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Resolution number 5317. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Spears.
Schuh?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spears?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Resolution number 5317. A resolution to make appropriations for current expenses and other expenditures of the City of Orrville, State of Ohio, during the fiscal year ending December 31st, 2018, and declaring an emergency.
Ms. Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is our first reading for 2018 temporary appropriations. All of you should have received your books today in your folders. The temporary appropriations are identical to the 2018 budget that we reviewed in June. If you recall, the total budget is $58 million. $16 million is for the tax-supported side and $42 million for the enterprise funds. The appropriations are only temporary. They allow us to expend funds for the first 3 months of 2018 until Council approves final appropriations prior to April 1st. And we should allow this resolution to go three readings.
Okay. Anyone have any questions before we move on? Go ahead.
Resolution number 5417. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Aspiris?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Resolution number 5417. A resolution to make appropriations for current expenses and other expenditures of the City of Oroville, State of Ohio, during the fiscal year ending December 31st, 2017, and declaring an emergency.
Ms. Stremlin.
Thank you again, Mr. President. Hopefully all of you received my memo regarding this legislation and have had an opportunity to read it. This legislation does modify appropriations for various funds for 2017. Some of the items are simply housekeeping items that we do almost every year. There are some other changes that are being driven by some extenuating circumstances that we did experience in 2017. Overall, the tax-supported fund appropriations are decreasing $548,000. That decrease is primarily attributable to the removal of a grant-funded project. Also, then, the enterprise funds are increasing $30,000.
Anyone have any questions? Mr. Morrison.
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Portman.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Aspiris?
Yes.
Portman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
I move resolution number 5417 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Corbin.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Aspiris?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
That completes our new business. However, there is one other item to be brought before us this evening. Our clerk has an item to read.
We have received a notice from the Department of Commerce, Division of Liquor Control, that all permits to sell alcoholic beverages in our political subdivision will expire February 1st, 2018. If we have any objections, we are to report them. Otherwise, our local businesses need to make sure that they renew those by February 1st.
Thank you. Anyone have anything for the good of the order tonight? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. And I'm thankful for his clerk. She turns 39 again on Friday. Happy birthday. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. Vance.
I move to be adjourned.
Thank you.
Second,
Mr. Shoup. Aspiris?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for attending our meeting. We're now adjourned.
Open the window.
Yeah, what's the temperature?
Yeah.
It was hot. She turned it down. So. Yeah, the temperature's hot.
It was keeping cozy.
Yeah.
Right.
The new units are working fine, obviously.
Yeah. This is how.
If you get sub zero, we'll be thinking the ability to heat or something.
So I guess they just want to know, do we really? Can I check this? Yeah. I just make sure because it has this information that you're done.
I actually listened to a podcast. I listened to Innkeeping Podcasts, and there was a whole series on this. It was this summer that I listened to it.